welcome to the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. This is episode 71. I can't believe that. This is the 15th episode of 2019. I'm the Madman at @DFF_Madman. And today I am here hosting the beginning of this show with my main man, Shane Manila, who's always here every week at @DFF_Shane. Shane, somebody's missing today. Who is it?
It's not my kids, right?
No, our kids will definitely make their presence known sooner or later in the audio, but Mike Sipes is out this week, unable to join us. So it's just the two of us, man. We're going to make a mess of this thing, aren't we?
This is probably going to be one of the worst episodes anyone's ever heard of any podcast.
I don't think the content of this show is going to be bad regardless, but yeah, we're going to miss Mike, who could not join us today. Anyways, Shane, you know, I think you have a bunch of things that you'd like to say to open this show up. I think it's going to be a big episode, even though we have our stalwart co-host missing. What do you want to start out with, buddy? Take it away.
Russ Wilson is rich now, apparently.
So the chances of him going to the New York Giants were probably pretty slim, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think they're even slimmer now.
Well, you think?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
He made his contract, and I think he has $70 million in guarantees for the 2019 season. So that'd be quite a cap hit. I don't know that Seattle could take that on.
Right.
It's funny, though. There was all this consternation about his contract. Like, Seattle wasn't going to let him leave.
Right.
Like, I don't know why people thought that was a real possibility. They would have tagged him this year. They would have next year. And then would have tagged him the following year.
Yeah, they would have been crazy to even trade him, because what could they possibly get that would be better than having Russell Wilson on their team? I mean, you know, they're in a seller's position, I mean. You know, the ball's in their court. They, just like you said, they're not just going to give him away because he doesn't want to play in Seattle anymore. And do you think he was just angling for a contract? I mean, a big one? Do you think that's all this was about from his end with his agent? I mean,
I think he just set a deadline because he doesn't want to deal with it in the offseason. You know, once you start, OTAs are starting to heat up, and then right after the draft, you know, they get the rookies in and all that stuff. So I just think he didn't want to deal with it. I don't think, from the statements he put out, it didn't sound like he was like, oh, sign me to a contract or I'm going to A-B my way out of here. You know, he wasn't going to dye his hair blonde and do anything like that. I think he just wanted to get the contract thing done. If it wasn't done, he would have dealt with it next offseason. And, I mean, he pretty much said that before.
Yeah, he didn't want to be distracted, which seems like a professional move. Wants to focus on football. Got it out of the way before, you know, the season starts, where he has to focus on football. So, yeah, it is a good move. Nothing about it was surprising, really. Yeah. It was surprising. People were thinking he was going to get traded to the Giants, and how Giants fans were, you know, kind of getting drunk on the thought of that. Hey, no more Eli. We've got Russell Wilson. No, you're still stuck with Eli Manning. Thank you.
You know what's funny, though, is you mentioned drunk Giants, because I have a legitimate question. As a franchise, are the Giants drunk, and should they go home?
I don't know what they're doing. I can't pretend to know what Gettleman is up to and what's happening. They can't be serious about Eli Manning two more years of that. I'm not saying the guy's washed up and can't play quarterback. He's just not very good at the position anymore. And that's not just fantasy football talking. They haven't done well as a team. I don't know how you think you're going to go a couple more years with that. And not even that, Shane. Why wouldn't you, if you're the Giants, try to get a quarterback last year, try to get a quarterback this year, and maybe you don't get the one you ultimately have as a franchise quarterback till next year? I mean, is it the draft capital? You'd have to draft one high. They don't like quarterback. You can't wait till next year and gamble on getting a guy that you might like in that class. It might not happen. So why not just draft one at their spot this year, or, you know, finagle till they get one? They've got to like one of these quarterbacks a little bit.
Well, so according to Rappaport today, and he was wrong a lot in the offseason, so he said that the Giants are definitely probably going to take someone at 6. Gettleman was quoted as saying that they thought Eli had something left, and he proved it. So I don't know what they're doing. So that's why I'm asking if their organization is drunk. So Gettleman comes out saying basically that Eli has plenty in the tank. He's fine. But then Rappaport's indicating that they're going to take a QB at 6. At 6, I guess Haskins was the one they were talking about before. But from everything I've heard, who knows? But the Giants are drunk, so that might not matter. But everything you've heard chatter-wise is that Haskins falling down the board and Locke is holding steady. Are they going to draft? They're not going to draft Daniel Jones at 6, right? They can't do that. Will they?
I wouldn't think so. I don't think he's worth that pick. Maybe not even a first round pick at all. But I do think they need to take the guy that they like at six, or you know, whatever they need to do in that first round to get a quarterback finally. And especially if they're only counting on Eli for 2 years, you're going to need some time to get a quarterback out of this class ready to go. Maybe say a season anyway. So the time is of the essence for the Giants. I think it's just smoke and mirrors like always. They're probably looking really hard at a quarterback and maybe don't want a team to jump them. So why not say, yeah, we're good with Eli, maybe to offset some of these teams jumping over him. I think it's they're all jockeying for position and spinning stuff so that they have more leverage with their draft picks. Because, you know, if someone hops them and gets into the fifth position and takes a quarterback ahead of the Giants that the Giants wanted all along, you know, that blows. They're not going to say they need a quarterback to give teams even more ammunition to move up. So I don't know, man. I think for fantasy football, we'd all be happier if they got a quarterback sooner than later.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's confusing. A rookie quarterback is going to come in. He's going to have the best slot duo in the league, I guess, and Evan Ingram. So I don't know. I guess whichever quarterback likes the middle of the field the most, that's who they're going to draft. It's just going to be a, I feel like saying the word boondoggle. It's going to be a boondoggle for fantasy between Tate and Shepherd. I don't think I'm touching anyone on that roster except for obviously Saquon and Evan Ingram.
Yeah, about the only position they don't need to draft on offense, running back and tight end. They could definitely use a wide receiver and, of course, the aforementioned quarterback.
Aforementioned, we're using all types of old-timey words tonight. We've used boondoggle and aforementioned
in the same paragraph.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
We're bold on this show, man. We're bold.
I got a couple trade alerts.
Oh, yeah? You made some good trades?
No. This one trade was just depressing, man. And I'm sure everybody has these trades. But I got an offer in my inbox. It was Josh Reynolds and Equinonymous, Anonymous St. Brown for Emmanuel Sanders. And, you know, I looked at it and I said, well, I have Emmanuel Sanders on my team still. That sucks because he's 31. He's coming off a torn Achilles. Christ. I was like, but I can't just accept this because both these guys are just stabs in the dark. So at least let me get a pick. So I made him throw on the 4-1 and I accept it.
Yeah, I like Equanimous St. Brown's chances still to be somebody. I think of all the, I realize there were three guys drafted and kind of a logjam for rookie wide receivers for Green Bay. But when the dust settles, you know, and the smoke clears, I really think that ESB is going to be the best player of those three guys, ultimately. And so I think having him, I'd be comfortable having him at the end of my roster, yeah, because I think he's going to end up panning out at some point. And Reynolds, you know, maybe he gets some more reps. But yeah, Emmanuel Sanders, what do you expect to get for him? I mean, really, at this point, getting the 401 for him might be a good deal in itself. But with St. Brown and Reynolds, that's a win.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, the super flex tight end, you have to start two tight ends. Really, that's like the 306. Nah, that doesn't make it any better. You know what's funny, though? Just thinking about Equinominous, Illuminati.
I know. His parents could have chosen an E. I can't imagine how his siblings pronounced his name. My sister couldn't pronounce Jeremy until she was like 13. I think she called me Jeremy. So I'd like to know how his family handled Equanimous. They must have just called him something else, or E.
E, that's what I'm thinking.
Jeez, it's a tongue twister, dude.
At one point last year, a little before now, maybe even right now before the draft, he was someone that people were looking at as a first round rookie draft.
Yeah. Oh, of course he was. Yeah. No, they were. He didn't really have that senior season and things just didn't pan out for him. And he, you know, as a rookie wide receivers, I'm not worried about them taking some time. It's rare that they come on like Odell Beckham Jr. in his rookie year. It just takes a little time for some of these guys. But yeah, he's got everything you'd want from an outside receiver. Fast enough, big enough. He'll get seasoned. He's playing with a good quarterback. I think there are definitely way worse choices easily you could make than him as to bank on getting better.
Man, hopefully no one in my league listens. But if anyone does, well, no, hopefully everyone in my league listens, but they don't pay attention to anything I say. But I'm going to probably after this is go on and just see if I can get a second round pick for him. I don't care. It could be the 212, anything.
Yeah.
I don't believe him. I think with Geronimo Allison coming back this year, who was on fire to start the year last year, like he's the two there. They tried MVS and that didn't work out. He had, you know, I think one or two nice games, but outside of that, he really face planted when given the role.
And yeah, Geronimo Allison's better. Yeah, MVS and Jamon Moore.
Jamon Moore, that's right.
Yeah, those two I don't think are going to... Those two, Jamon Moore and MVS, I don't think they're going to end up being as good down the line as ESB. And, I mean, I'm not just guessing at that. I just think if you add up everything, the pros and cons of those players, well, of course, ESB got a chance before Jaylen Moore anyway. But if you just add everything up, the scale tips just slightly in favor of ESB being a player in the end, especially the draft capital that teams, you know, used to in his senior year, you know, we thought they would put on him to draft him. So I think he was a value for the Packers, and I think he's going to end up panning out in the next year or so. I mean, he's just a rookie. So, yeah, I mean, your thinking here, it speaks for itself. But the point you made about people listening to the show, you know, some of the other podcasters and people we know better listen, because I get trade offers from those guys based on conversations we have and things they find out about us. And sometimes it works in my favor, but they certainly send players, try to trade players to us that they know we like. So it's definitely, it happens.
Oh, trade alert. I got a trade offer alert live on the air.
No kidding.
From one of these people. I don't know if he actually listens to us, but he's definitely a friend in the community. P.A. Howdy.
Yeah.
Peter Howdy.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his last name. So I'm
Howard, right? Peter Howard, is it?
There you go. Howard. Peter Howard. Peter Howdy. I think he answers either. So it's a one quarterback league, one of the few I'm in. And the only reason I stayed in this league is because, or I even joined the league, is because Zach and Kyle from the Dummies are in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason I would have joined the one quarterback league last year. He's offered me Josh Rosen in the 2.8 for Marcus Mariota in the 3.7. I think I'm taking that.
Yeah, that's kind of a wash for me. Whichever quarterback you liked, I think that trade works in your favor of the two. I don't see it. You know, it's pretty balanced. It just depends on which quarterback you believe in, I guess.
I get the better pick, though. That's what I like.
Yeah, slightly better pick. So why not? And, man, people have given up on Rosen, huh? He was a rookie quarterback. They don't all light the world on fire. Just, I mean, was he that bad? That whole team was bad. It's tough to pin it on him. I thought based on his season, there was enough potential in him to be a quarterback, a starting quarterback in the league, and that he'd be fine given that he was a rookie. Is he ever going to be as good as people thought he might be coming into the league and, you know, during his senior season or whatever? Maybe not, but I still think he's got enough to be a starting quarterback. And I think fantasy is giving up on that guy way too early. I think you can get a lot of good buys on him right now. I've seen weird trade offers on Twitter where people are like kind of giving him away. All based on conjecture, all based on the possibility they draft Kyler Murray at 101. That hasn't happened yet. Could, but it hasn't happened. And so I think people are already buying into that being a fact. Rosen's still the quarterback for Arizona, who just brought in an exciting new coaching staff for fantasy football. If, and there's a damn good chance that he does stay there, that they're giving up too soon on him, but he's still going to be a starting quarterback somewhere. Hell, maybe the Giants are the team that should move something to get Rosen.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, I would do that if the Cardinals are actually serious about trading him, which, and yeah, everybody gave up on him. Not everyone, but too many people have given up on him in fantasy. Oh, he was terrible. He was behind one of the worst offensive lines in all of football.
Right.
Not just in sacks given up, but also in hits given up. And we all made fun of how bland and useless the offensive play calling was. But there's a disconnect there because then people are like, but Rosen was terrible. Okay, well, you have to understand what he was playing with. He had a horrible line. And again, he was playing with a terrible head coach and offensive coordinator. That team was trash. There's a reason they fired the offensive coordinator in season. He was awful.
Yeah, even as bad as the Jets were at times last year, and they're kind of goofy decisions at the coaching position, they at least tried to give Sam Darnold something to play with out there on offense. And, yeah, you know, he didn't have the greatest season, but he showed what he could be. And I really do think I wasn't a big Rosen guy. You know that. I liked Darnold a lot better than Rosen. He was kind of my guy. And I still feel that way as far as an NFL starting quarterback. That kid's got everything you want. Fantasy, you know, you can debate it a little bit differently and more. But Rosen's just, even given that he had a bad year and people maybe were too high on him, there's no way you give up on a guy that has the potential to be a starter. We're not talking to be a starting quarterback. We're not talking about Blake Bortles here, you know, what you know about him at this point in time. We're talking about a rookie quarterback. It's just, it's crazy to me how quickly these guys, these Twitter fanatics, turn on players.
Yeah, I traded
rookies.
Did I trade Baker? I might have.
Oh, you did? You traded him away?
In some league. I think I traded him for Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson.
Oh, did you post that poll or something out there?
I might have.
You traded Baker Mayfield for Lamar Jackson and Josh Rosen.
Oh, no, wait. Never mind. It was Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson. Never mind.
So you got Darnold and Jackson.
That was just weeks ago.
I'm surprised you did that, given all we've talked about with Baker Mayfield. But, you know, in a super flex league, you have, you know, two starters now instead of one. And, Yeah, I don't know. You could make a justification for doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I got Matt Ryan on that team, too. So
nice.
It's a guy that's finished as the number two fantasy quarterback two out of the last 3 years.
Yeah, people don't want to believe in Matt Ryan. He's one of my favorites because he's, you know, he's a guy you could usually get after all the other big names came off the board at a value, and he would deliver just like the guys who went before him. So, yeah, good work with that lineup of quarterbacks. I still, you traded away Mayfield. That's hard to do, man, without, like, getting, like, without asking somebody to really overpay. And those two quarterbacks might be that in a Superflex might just slightly be an overpay, but I don't think I, even as a Browns fan, trying to discount that, thinking about what people, you know, what they expect out of Mayfield now, I want to get a freaking haul before I move that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it before, if I can move within that same tier of quarterbacks, I'll do that and pick up another piece. Although Wentz is the guy I'm targeting right now, since everyone continues to tell me he's terrible. Oh, but we do have news on Wentz too.
And who? I'm sorry, who?
Wentz Carson.
Who's that?
Ginger Jesus. Again? Jesus.
Carson Wentz. That should be like something you do is weave him into every show, like Alfred Hitchcock, you know, a cameo, M. Night Shyamalan in every movie. You should just get Carson Wentz on every show sheet in every pod we do.
He was Carson Wentz the whole time.
That'd be an art.
And I know everyone will love this that hasn't already heard, but so he's behind schedule for his back healing. When it was,
I think,
4 months ago, yeah, like 3 months ago when they were talking to Peterson about Wentz's back, he said, yeah, it should be healed about April. And, Wentz said it's not healed. So I know we had Siege on and he was talking about Wentz's back problems going back to when he was a fetus. And
yeah, I know. I remember.
He's misformed and things like that.
When he was a fetus.
Yeah. Buying window could be still open on Wentz. Because people refuse, like every time I see anything on Twitter, it's Wentz can't play a full season, Wentz is made of paper mache, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they're a little too hard on him. There's extremes. There's you who, you know, you want to practically draft him as the best quarterback in the league in startups, and then there are the people who don't want to touch him because he's been injured, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle, as it often does with things. He's a good young starting quarterback, and yeah, you want him on your team. It's just funny to see the extremes of feelings about these players.
Yeah.
And plus the Eagles starting quarterback is going to be a huge value. Strictly looking at fantasy, the Eagles starting quarterback is going to be money.
Yeah. We've already talked about the weapons with Ertz, Alshon, Deshaun, Goddard, when you pronounce it correctly, or Goddard, if you want to spell
it. Yeah, I still don't know. I've heard it both ways so many times. It's probably that last remaining name I haven't heard the correct pronunciation of, and I don't care.
And you know, it's funny, they're probably going to go wide receiver in the draft. I could see.
You think so? I wouldn't be surprised by that at all, buddy.
Oh, Aguilar, that's it. He's still there. But yeah, but they've got a couple early round, you know, they have a first and they have a couple seconds.
Right.
And, you know, they love defensive and offensive line, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them go wide receiver in the fourth, maybe something like that. And that might be a guy I take a flyer on. But we'll see. Because the draft will be, by the time we talk again, the draft will happen, right? The first round.
We're supposed to record on Monday with the Rookie Fever guys.
Yeah, you know what? I say we do a short week. We give the people what they need. Because I don't want to fall behind too much. We do this episode. We bang out Monday's episode. It's just, you know, people get to listen to us back to back to back to back. I might record just episodes by myself, put those out there.
Yeah, I like doing that better than writing. And then the 29th, you know, we're doing a rookie mock draft with some friends of ours in the industry and bang out a rookie mock draft right after the NFL draft, after we know landing spots for all these running backs and wide receivers and tight ends, quarterback. I don't know why I just said that. When we know all the landing spots for the offensive players and we can mock draft it. So it's going to be a good, I mean, it's just going to be busy, but it's going to be a fun next three shows, dude. Well, two after this.
So no IDP though. IDP.
No. Or do you want to draft? Do you want to mock draft some rookie IDP players?
God damn.
It doesn't even slightly interest me.
Oh, real quick. So, I know we usually talk about this later, but Mike's not on this show, so we'll just do shit in random order. So we did get the new review on iTunes. It was not good.
Oh, no.
No. And I got to read this one. And I tried to message the person, but I couldn't figure out how to. I wasn't going to message them to be like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't like this show. What could we do better? I was going to message them to be like, hey, I need you to go bang your mother.
Yeah, I don't buy into some of the people that actually take the time to give a bad review if they listen to the whole show. I remember Outhouse mentioned this, too. It's funny because there are negative things you could say for constructive reasons, but I mean, somebody that tees off and gives you a one and dogs you, I question their personal attachment to it. Like, why are they so vested that they feel the need to give you a shitty review on iTunes? I mean, would you do that? I don't think I'd listen to somebody's podcast and rip them a new one. I just, not my style.
Well, they didn't give us a one star. They gave us a two star. So at least that, right?
Okay.
So our average rating doesn't look like it's dropped. Still five stars. And remember, guys, give us a rating and review. Send us a picture of that to DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com. And you're eligible to win whatever t-shirt you want from the HQ store. So we got, I guess, some content is okay, but all these guys do is giggle at each other's jokes like Beavis and Butthead.
Damn it, son of a bitch. Damn it, son of a bitch.
That's pretty cool.
There are literally more laughs between them than talk. Problem is, they are not funny.
What in the hell?
It gets annoying after a few minutes. Stop giggling like five-year-old girls and talk football.
So yeah, whatever, man.
219.
What's that?
I'm thanking Samster219. That's who the review came from.
Yeah, sorry, great review. Awesome constructive criticism. We'll have to remember not to laugh so much on this show and have so much fun. And, like, you know, keep it, you know, stick to football, Shane.
Yeah, look, I gotta ask you, Jeremy, especially you, stop laughing. Don't make this enjoyable. Look, podcasts are supposed to be very boring affairs that make you want to fall asleep.
So, hey, man, I've listened to my share of them that absolutely do that. And I refuse to not have a good time. I think it's pretty obvious we have fun. So, you know, if people don't like to have fun, then, you know, if you don't like to have fun, do not listen to this podcast. If you like have fun and you like people who genuinely laugh at the stuff we talk about, then listen to this podcast because I think it's a good time. We should get that guy on here to talk and see if we can make him laugh on the show.
I don't want to.
Love one out, Shane. Come on.
Screw that guy. Anyway, so I got another trade alert.
Another one? Your own trade?
Of course.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever brought anyone else's trades. Although, here's one.
Yeah, someone you have.
Someone DM'd me, and it was a Superflex league, and they wanted to know 101 or George Kittle. He didn't give me any other information, so I don't know.
What I saw that one, 101 or George Kittle. I saw that, and I'm taking George Kittle. But without context, I mean, I just, yeah,
without
okay.
Without context, I assume you don't need a quarterback if you're asking?
Yeah, right.
So you would take George Kittle if you didn't need a quarterback. I think I would do that, too. Because
yeah, I get you. That's what I mean about the context. It doesn't always matter, but the people that say, oh, you should be able to evaluate a trade on value regardless of, you know, all the settings and if you were good at doing this, nah, that's not true because sometimes these trades are really close in value at face value. And the 101, okay, I don't know who the 101 is going to be yet for most people. Anyway, there's probably going to be two players that waiver after the NFL draft that, you know, it fluctuates between these two players generally at 101. Do I want one of those players or George Kittle? And if it's Kyler Murray or, you know, a quarterback and it's a super flex league, yeah, you know, I'm maybe leaning toward the quarterback like you just pointed out. But if not, then hell yeah, I want George Kittle because he's a commodity, like the number one option in a Shanahan offense, and I already know what I have in him. I don't have to wonder if the guy I'm drafting is going to be valuable, whereas, you know, the quarterback will be, without questions. There are questions built into these that people, I think, overlook that don't play a lot of dynasty football, you know? I mean, I think most people get it. Context matters, man.
Context always matters. I did a one-man mock draft, which most people would just call ranking.
I saw that, and I knew, I was like, did you do that today instead of hanging out with your kids? Is that why we didn't do the show earlier today? And then I realized from Facebook, I don't get on there a lot, but my wife tagged me in something. And I saw you took your kids to a really cool place that you went to as a kid, and that looked like fun. But then I saw that mock draft, and I'm like, oh, hell no, Shane. I'm not talking about your article the whole show tonight that you just dropped today, you son of a bitch.
Nah, not at all. But you know what I mean? I was going through it last night. It's funny, even when I was writing it, I was kind of moving people around. Yeah, I don't even have Dwayne Haskins in the first round in a Superflex draft.
I think you're nutty there. Oh, yes, and I saw your comments about Dwayne Haskins, like your one sentence, like, meh, Dwayne Haskins, dude, you're too low on that guy. I'm not sure why. I know you hate Ohio State for whatever reason, which offends me because as that's my alma mater, and, you know, I have to like them. I can't not like them because I went to school there. And someday you're going to have to go to a game with me, and then you'll maybe change your tune going to a big-time football game like that. But regardless, the fact – I want to know why you're so down on him. You have Locke above him, and you didn't really say much really good about Haskins other than, it's a super flex and, okay, Haskins. I'm like, what the hell, Shane? You're letting me down, brother.
I don't think he's bad. And, I, you know me, I'm just kind of blah about most things because I don't have human feelings.
Nice.
So – And the special place I took my children was Juvenile Hall.
Was what?
I wanted to see Juvenile Hall.
Nice.
I wanted my kids to see where I grew up, so Juvenile Hall.
You didn't spend time there.
So, yeah, no, it's not that I don't like Dwayne Haskins. It's just I think Drew Locke is better. I think Drew Locke is, like I said, he's better physically. He broke out earlier. Oh. He's been starting longer. Obviously, I guess it's not Haskins' fault that he only started one season, even though I am kind of holding that against him. And then by the same token, I'm not holding it against Kyler Murray, who is the 101 all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean about some of this stuff that where these I think when people rank players, it's actually a big pet peeve of mine. I feel like they double count either positively or negatively certain things, or with certain players, something like that. Oh, only starting for 1 year. You know, you were talking about Dwayne Haskins having all these weapons, and he did. He had a lot of weapons in the offense. Ryan Day took over that offense, looked great. That's another thing. They, you know, Ohio State transitioned to a bit of a different offense, a lot more passing away from the option, you know, because Haskins isn't much of a threat to run. So they didn't have a lot of that built in. They changed it a lot. And so that the passing game became featured, and it was really good. But that was the first year that Ohio State really did that. And it was the first year Haskins started. And like Kyler Murray, they both lit the college football world on fire with the passing game. I mean, Murray with his legs as well. Both did really well. And I actually look at that as a positive. Unlike with some positions where, you know, a senior wide receiver breaks out or a senior running back like Josh Jacobs, finally you see something of these guys in their last year. I don't see it as a negative with Haskins, but I can understand why people would question that, whereas Locke started longer, except he started longer and he didn't really always look that great. I mean, he's a prototypical quarterback, but he had weapons too. I mean, he had weapons, and you can't say that he didn't. And Kyler Murray certainly did. I mean, that the Oklahoma offense was really pretty good. Their defense is a bit of a different story, but that offense and the offensive line, I mean, that both he and Haskins were in a better position than Locke to succeed. But I don't necessarily agree with Locke, you know, being, you know, the bigger, the stronger, the better. I don't see that, man. Somebody would have to sell me on that. I don't agree.
Well, I'm not going to sell it to you because honestly, when I got to about the Drew Locke part of this draft,
yeah,
what I wanted to note was going to be a cop out. It was just going to be trade back.
Yeah, trade out.
Yeah, like that's, you know what I mean. Like,
right. Yeah.
Honestly, and like I said, I had Noah Fant at 106, which is, you know, early. But the reason I did is because I have the most confidence in him out of the remaining players who are on the board. That he's the last guy that I look at and I go, I don't think he's going to miss.
Yeah,
like, you know, I'm pretty confident he's not going to miss. There's other guys like Hakeem Butler is a monster of a human being and he's very, you know, his stats are good. So maybe he'll hit. I like Miles Sanders, but I also know that whoever doesn't hit from this running back class is pretty good chance that they're going to lose their job immediately in 2020 with the class that's coming in.
Oh, so, yeah, good point.
Yeah. I don't want to invest in anyone that I don't think the NFL is going to invest in this year. It's going to be interesting to see where Sanders goes, where Montgomery goes. Like, I kind of want to be proven wrong. I want those guys to go earlier than I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. I want them to go in the second round, you know, but I got a feeling they're going to be floating around to the third, fourth round. The only guy that's going to go off the board early is going to be Jacobs. And like I said, just in that situation with the class that's coming in next year, I have a feeling that just a lot of these guys that are just kind of puttering along. And, you know, if they can't prove their worth, they're going to lose that job quickly.
No, yeah, I agree. There's only so many starting running back jobs. And I mean, geez, there are enough running backs coming out of this class that they could almost take half of those jobs if they were good enough. I mean, there's 15 running backs, no doubt. They're not all going to do that. Like we've talked before, most of them are going to be backup running backs or change of pace guys, maybe goal line backs, third down backs. I don't see a ton of starters, but you know that a handful of these guys are going to make it. Question is, which ones? Because there are running backs that I like better than the sort of top guys that are talked about, and even better than Jacobs as far as prospects. So I don't even want to touch running backs because my confidence rate, I told you before about my confidence rankings, the ratings that I give to players, and I have a bunch of guys just all kind of like the same number, basically, after it's all said and done. So I don't have more confidence in many of those guys than the others. You know, I have my favorites. I love Devin Singletary. I think David Montgomery's fallen a little too far. And Myles Gaskin, even. I think there's a place for him in the NFL. And just, you know, Devin Singletary's not fast enough. Yeah, he is. He's definitely fast enough. It's unfortunate that he's not faster at 5'7", but he's fast enough. He looks like he has great balance, great vision, able to miss or make the first tackler miss all the time. And those kinds of things that he brings to the table on tape matter in the NFL. Is he a three-down running back? I don't know. Maybe not, but he certainly there's a place for guys that aren't three-down running backs in the NFL if they are great passing backs. You know, Tariq Cohen has proven that. Kenyon Drake, a lot of running backs have proven, Tevin Coleman, have proven that value in fantasy. So I'm keying on a lot of the guys that can catch passes and not worried about whether the guy can be a bell cow in this class. Do they bring something to the table that's going to get them on the NFL field? With wide receivers, I feel like it's a little bit easier. I have guys that I'm confident are going to succeed in the NFL, and those are my guys, and I don't care what everybody else is doing with their rankings. I look at them and I listen to what they have to say, but I only take some of that analysis in because, Shane, this time of year, dude, there's so much over-analysis out there. Everybody just diving in and looking at, you know, under the rocks, and I don't know that a lot of that stuff that's brought up even matters.
I wish we could get an NFL GM on. I'm pretty sure they won't come on. Just ask them, like, do you guys even care about this?
You don't think so?
Are you guys looking at these things? Yeah, like, if they come on our show, they definitely, like, we could just lie to them and be like, oh, it's ESP, and just leave off the fact that there's no N, and be like, oh, wait, I thought this was ESPN, and we'll be like, ah, nope, sucker. I don't know why people don't like Myles Gaskin more, actually. Myles Gaskin, not Gaskin.
Yeah, Gaskin. No, Gaskin.
I do it all the time with him, with all that S's at the end. But I don't know why people don't like him more. I mean, I know physically he's not, he's not amazing, but he produced every year in college. He showed he has three down back skills because he's a receiving back. He's the guy that I've drafted in the fourth round of a couple of rookie drafts. And I'll keep doing that because, I mean, yeah, it's a lottery ticket at that point. And if you're going to take out a lottery ticket, you should be doing it on running backs because those are the guys that just need one guy to go down and then they can get an opportunity.
And man, I don't have enough rookie drafts that start before the NFL draft. And I used to. It irritates me. I used to have more of them, and now most of them are after the NFL draft. And I like to have the edge of all my homework being an asset early on to take players that I think are going to hit. It's still better for me to see landing spots, but I don't get those great third round and fourth round deals anymore. I don't get George Kittle in the fourth round. You know what I mean?
Ah, George Kittle. Goddamn George Kittle. I've never asked you. I don't think I've asked you. Do you have Hockenson or do you have Fant ranked higher? Regardless of landing spot.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit when we were trying to draft in the DFB Invitational, you, me, and Mike, where, you know, we all had to compromise and really talk things through and make sure we were making the best pick for the team. And it was tough. I enjoyed it, actually, but it was tough. It made me reevaluate things. I'm fine with having Noah Fant ranked above Hockenson and Irv Smith. But as far as football goes and thinking about which of those players is going to get on the field first and, because of their blocking ability, get on the field first because, they offer more than just what they do in the passing game. And so the order that I actually have, and, you know, you can call me crazy, but I have Hockenson, Irv Smith, and Noah Fant. And trust me, Noah Fant and his athleticism is not lost on me. I mean, I love the kid. I think he could be a really great asset to fantasy football, but I like Hockenson and Irv Smith to get on the field sooner for NFL teams and help my fantasy team first.
Huh. Well, I'm still taking Fant.
No, I get it. And I think you've justified that before in your article too. The guy is a metrics maven. He's got an amazing set of skills. A few of the things that I looked into, one of them was the drop rate. And that doesn't necessarily matter because Fant's so athletic, he's trying to make plays that maybe another player wouldn't even make. You know, it was like 1 in 10 drops. For Hockenson, it was over 30, but it was like 1 in 30. So showing that Hockenson does have really good hands in the passing game. And that wasn't the only thing, but just other things that gave me more confidence in Hockenson and more confidence in Irv Smith than Fant as far as becoming a starting NFL tight end. But if you're going to bank on guys like DK Metcalf and other superb athletes, you probably should take Fant ahead of the other guys. And like you said, ultimately, you expect him to be the best one in this class. So you're going to have to make a move for him sooner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no right answer. We don't know which of those guys is going to be good. I'd take any of the three, and I'll tell you something. I don't know if I talked to you about this, but somebody on one of these podcasts, I said that if one of those three tight ends ends up on the Patriots, that's my new number one tight end. So let's say the Patriots get Irv Smith. That's my new number one rookie tight end. If they get Hockenson, that's my new number. Well, that's my, you know, reinforces that I had him at first overall. And if the Patriots take Fant, he's my number one overall. So I think that you, when you have a team that you know needs a tight end, and you know they're the Patriots are vacating all Gronk's work and need somebody, I definitely want the Patriots tight end. Given what we know about Belichick drawing upon that position, but Shane, I don't think there's any reason or wrong reason for you to have Fant above the other three. Other people do, and you might, it might turn out you're right in taking him ahead of those two.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the Hockenson, because he's the one of our favorite terms during this part of the season is he's the more complete player.
Yeah, and tight end, you know, that kind of matters to get on the field sooner. 3 years in, you know what I mean? It's 3 years to develop is a long time. So the more things they bring to the table, the greater their chances to play sooner. But that doesn't mean they're better. In two, 3 years, you know, maybe Fant is Eric Ebron last year. Maybe Fant is Evan Ingram when he breaks out. Maybe Fant is George Kittle. Player Profiles sure seems to think that they comp to each other pretty well.
Yeah.
Both from Iowa.
They're both tight ends, and they're both physically, the skill, the speed, the burst, agility, catch radius, all that stuff is just bonkers. I don't even know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. George Kittle's a tough guy. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, that guy could go be a wrestler or do MMA or something after his football career. He's kind of a badass. And on top of it, he's got those athletic metrics like Noah Fant. On top of being a badass, he's like so complete. And I think Hockenson, you know, while not being as athletic as these two, is a good tight end. But yeah, man, if you're gonna swing for the fences, Noah Fant's the guy to do that with. He might be a can't miss first round draft.
And you know what? Real quick, with all this rookie draft talk, I just want to remind everyone to go on Dynasty Football Factory website and go check out the Scouting Academy. Hit the link. Go ahead and save yourself $50 on the next session. There's no words that I could do that or say that could do it justice.
Yeah.
Honestly, it shows you how to scout correctly. If you're an amateur tape watcher and you want to become a pro tape watcher, Scouting Academy is the way to go about that. It's a great place to start. And even if you don't want to be a pro scout, it still can help you with your evaluations, you know, doing the stuff we do. Go check that out, Scouting Academy, and save yourself some money hitting that link on our website.
And if you want some real testimonials, we know people that have gone through those courses. They'll tell you on their site, a lot of great people that went through the courses, but we personally know people who have gone through it, and to the person, every single one has raved about it, talks highly about it, is glad they did it. So yeah, you can learn to talk football like a pro, like me and Shane, because we have friends that went to that.
Yeah, so what I do is I can't even pretend to understand what I'm watching on tape. I can understand some of it, you know what I mean? But I think I've brought this up before on the show. Like, I don't know how to tell someone has vision or not. How do I know that he didn't see that hole there? For all I know, he sees that hole and he was like, I can do better bouncing over here. But whatever, anyway.
yep, there you go, man. There's a testimonial right there on why to learn more about player scouting.
So you don't sound stupid like me.
No, that's not it. Just, I mean, there's so much to know. I mean, position by position analysis. Isn't that what they say? Because there's no two positions that you evaluate the same. So absolutely, man.
Yep.
So, hey, you want to talk? You tell me what you want to talk about next. But one thing I want to talk about is some guys that we think in this draft are going to be duds. Other people love them. They're going to draft them. I'm hoping they draft them before I pick so that I get somebody else that I want, because I don't want that player. You know what I'm saying. Who are some guys in this draft that you, Shane, want to avoid or think could be duds and you don't really want to draft? You can avoid them. Right. Before landing spots, before we know landing spots, just in general, you don't like.
Deebo Samuel.
Okay.
I think he's going to be an okay real football player.
Mm-hmm.
But by that I mean 55 catches, mm-hmm. 700 yards, and 4 touchdowns. A lot of people talk him up. Yeah, he's tough. He's versatile. Blah 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 blah. He's injured all the time. He was a senior, right? He's what, 26 years old?
okay.
Whatever. He just doesn't impress me. Like as a real football player, I think he's going to be a nice little player. And you might be able to start him a week or two when you have no other options and you're on, you know, you're in a 14 teamer and it's bye weeks. But he's a guy that I'm not buying in on. How about you? I don't know how you feel about him.
He's not my favorite. He's not at the top of my list for sure. I think he could be a decent pro player, but he's not someone that I want to take a shot on in the first round if I don't have to. In the, you know, what is he, a running back, a wide receiver? I think it's more difficult to find a position for Deebo Samuel than it is for Paris Campbell, and people talk about that. Well, Paris Campbell, H-back, you know, is he a running back, catching balls out of the flat? Is he a wide receiver? Because he doesn't catch that well downfield. You know, over the shoulder, he's not going to be that kind of wide receiver on the outside. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, jump ball guy, but he can catch well. He has huge hands and he does well underneath. And I know we're talking about Deebo Samuel, but my example here is they say, well, is Paris Campbell really going to be, you know, more than a gadget guy? Is he really going to be a wide receiver? Well, I think his chances of doing that are greater than Deebo Samuel, who also is not. Is he a running back? I think he's more, he's kind of in the middle too. So I just don't have a place to put him yet. And he did okay, you know, in college. I wasn't that sold on him. Same with Riley Ridley. I think the tape shows a guy that can make plays, but I don't want to invest a top 10 draft pick on him.
I can't imagine drafting Riley Ridley. And this is funny. At some point last year, I said the same about his brother, but his brother was a much more accomplished receiver, and there's really no comparison other than they are brothers. And I was wrong on Calvin Ridley, even though a lot of his scoring was based off touchdowns. But I still do think he's going to be a very good pro after, you know, looking at it more.
He did better than I expected, too, especially as a rookie. I was very surprised. Yeah. And, you know, it helped that Julio Jones was on the other side of the field. You have other capable, you know, players to take the pressure off. And you have Matt Ryan. But at the same time, you know, he was a rookie wide receiver. And he was ready to go. You know, he was older and ready to go. So all the fantasy guys, well, he's too old. He doesn't, you know, in my model, his comps are, you know, this turd and that turd. And he turned out to be a valuable player in fantasy. So a lot of people did miss on him. And I didn't have him high on my list either. I definitely didn't hit on him.
Yeah, but Riley Ridley, he's got no physical attributes to speak of and no production. So I don't care what the film says, you know. Another guy Kelvin Harmon, I don't know if people even still like him anymore.
I do. You know, honestly, I have more confidence in Kelvin Harmon being a thing in the NFL, I'm not kidding, than DK Metcalf. And it's production. It's just the way that guy plays ball. He's versatile. He's got some moves. You know, maybe he's not going to come out and, you know, wow you with one-handed catches and, you know, look like Odell Beckham Jr. At the same time, he's a great wide receiver, and I think he's being overshadowed by other stories. But I have more confidence in him than DK Metcalf. I have more confidence in, I just lost my train of thought. N'Keal Harry, for sure. I have more confidence in the guy with all the last names from Stanford. Oh my God, I can't think of his name, but he's like one of my favorites in this class. Oh, shit. I should have had my list pulled up. I mean, more confidence in them becoming pro players that are valuable to me in fantasy. Absolutely. Yep.
But so you think Harmon's got a better shot to hit than N'Keal, huh?
No, not than N'Keal. N'Keal's my favorite player in this draft. That's my personal 101, my personal favorite wide receiver. I know Superflex, you get into the situation where maybe you don't take N'Keal Harry over a quarterback. But yeah, no, N'Keal Harry, I've never wavered from that. He's my favorite in this class. No, I mean Kelvin Harmon over DK Metcalf. More confidence that he becomes a thing. More confidence in Harmon being a thing over DK Metcalf. And other players, too, over Metcalf ever being a big deal. So people talking about Metcalf in their top five, he's not in my top. You know, I'm just not willing to take that shot on the guy. I've been burned too many times before. I wrote an article for Fantasy Pros, and I kind of made a joke, but I'm like, the last time I was burned by banking on upside, I owned way too many shares of Rashad Perriman. I'm never doing that again. And, you know, DK Metcalf is a much bigger, stronger, you know, version of a player like that. But still, I'm not doing that thing again.
You know, what's funny is because this draft class, I'm not really overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with taking Metcalf at 105, 106 at this point. Because I figure if I'm going to swing, I'm going to swing and miss. If it's going to be a miss, I want it to be full on. I lost a bat. It went flying into the stands and knocked some dude in the head, and they had to take him out on a stretcher. That's how bad I'm going to miss at this point. I'd rather miss with him than miss with a guy that I perceive as being safe that really isn't, because, you know, the rookie hit rate is what it is, regardless of who you're drafting.
I agree with you. Yeah. And I didn't do these confidence ratings just because I like players or whatever. You know, I literally come up with a tangible number at the end of it. And so just to maybe shock you even more, I have Andy Isabella, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, A.J. Brown, Kelvin Harmon, N'Keal Harry, all ahead of, in my confidence ratings, ahead of D.K. Metcalf. And Hakeem Butler's right there with Metcalf as far as the confidence. I think that you're rolling the dice with either of them. Hakeem Butler could be really freaking great, or he could be a total dud. I lean toward he could be successful in the league, but he's right there with DK Metcalf as far as, yeah, I don't know. The number that I have here is not telling me that I should draft him above those other players. So, well, it is what it is, man. I trust this, so.
Dude, I love A.J. Brown.
He's going to be good.
I was trying to talk myself into putting him at 101 or 102 for wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm just waiting for a reason to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if he goes before Harry on draft night, that's going to be all I need to go, okay. Or if he ends up with the Colts, you know, maybe 15 picks later, you know, assuming they both go within the first two rounds, then I'm going to talk myself into it. I already know it.
Oh, dude, if he ends up in a great situation and we see so much upside based on the team that he goes to, like San Francisco, Indianapolis, I'm just off the top of my head. Yeah. Whatever, we deem that a great landing spot. You know he's going to end up being the first wide receiver taken, or maybe the 101 because of that. And he is very good. The funny thing is, I target taller wide receivers. I think it's something many of us did over the years. You know, you want that prototypical guy that's 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". You know, not 6'7", but, you know, big guys. The big, strong wide receivers instead of the smaller guys. But if you look, many of the successful wide receivers right now, and guys who have panned out big time are not, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". They're guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, guys like A.J. Brown. They fall in that, you know, 6 to 6'1 kind of range, you know, 200, you know, just a little over. They're kind of like, that's kind of the model of those guys that can play slot and outside and do a multitude of things and aren't that big. Maybe a little shiftier in the hips and can, you know, do more things for NFL teams. So A.J. Brown, his archetype, I think, is a great thing to bank on, and you should be confident drafting him based on his production on top of everything else.
Yeah, he's a guy I really love him. I'm going to talk.
I really love him.
I know I'm going to talk myself into drafting him.
I think you will too, man. You've been talking about Brown for a few weeks. For a while now, that's been your guy at receiver. And then at running back, it was
Sanders.
Yeah, you went to Miles Sanders. Yeah, which I think that's a good pick.
Now I've shifted back to Jacobs, and Jesus Christ. You know, you watch a little bit of the film on Jacobs, and like I said, I'm not a film guy. I'm not a savant or anything.
But you watch football, and you know a good player when you see him.
Yeah, and when you watch him play, you're like, this guy's actually really good. Like, so he just needs to stay on the field. That's all you're telling me, coach? Just stay on the field, right? And if he goes in the first round, look, I've said it before, draft capital matters as much as we want to be like, oh, well, you shouldn't base everything on that. No, you shouldn't, but you should base a good portion of you know, if you flat out hate a guy and he gets drafted early, like John Ross a couple years ago, okay, don't draft him. But if you're just kind of on the fence with a guy like Josh Jacobs and then he goes in the first round, I can see going, you know what, I need to look at this guy a little more. Maybe I need to move him up my board.
Yeah.
Dude, all I know is you need to take it all into account. If you're just taking one aspect, like, you know, like, oh, well, physically he's dominating and that's all that matters to you, or he dominated in college and all that, that's all that matters. Because that doesn't matter if he gets drafted in the sixth round.
Right. And if you look at
doesn't matter how physically gifted he is or how well he performed, he's not going to hit. The hit rate is garbage. So
right. And if you ignore things like, yeah, I agree with you. If you ignore things like Marquise Brown being, you know, short and light, 170 pounds and 5'9". If you ignore that and don't consider it at all, and it doesn't affect your ranking of Marquise Brown, doing it wrong. If you look at DK Metcalf and his 6'3 plus going on 6'4 and his 4.33 40-yard dash, and you ignore everything else, and you key in on that guy's physical strength and the way he looks in pictures, you're not doing it right either. There's definitely a balance of things that you have to consider, and other people's rankings this year, you could throw them out the window. I mean, some people are going to hit on some of their picks, but they're all over the board, and you're better off getting some evidence or using some system of your own to break down who you want to pick. And sometimes your own opinion matters a lot. Hey, Shane, how can people become a patron of the Dynasty Trades HQ? What is it?
Dynasty Trades HQ.
Right?
Yeah, you just go on the Patreon page and search for us, or you DM me or the show and just ask for a link, and we'll send you a link. And then you'll get to join, you know, depending on the tiers, everybody gets to join the group me chat where we're talking trades, among other things, but mostly trades and some startup draft stuff. you know, the next tier, you can go ahead and get yourself the bonus podcast episodes every week or the uncensored podcast, written content. You can get roster evaluations from us where we'll deep dive into your team and tell you what moves you should be making or look to make, trades you should be looking to make. You give us a link to your league and we'll go ahead and get in that bad boy, all up in it.
Yep, absolutely.
Target an actual team and be like, all right, well, this is who you need to go after. You share that link and then we can get in depth. I can go look at trading history. Jeremy can go look at trading history and draft history of the other teams, kind of see, you know, what it is that they like so that we can come up with a plan to improve your roster. Or shit, if you've got a built roster, just tell you sit pat, because there's nothing wrong with sitting pat, man. We love trades, but if you don't need to trade, don't trade. So, yeah, go become a patron. I mean, it's well worth the cost. I'd suggest starting at least the $5 tier, though. So you get the group me chat, you get the bonus podcast, and you get the uncensored podcast and the written content.
Yeah, definitely check it out. We have a lot of fun over there for sure.
We do. And you know what, I think we're going to wrap this up. And I don't even know if we got time to do the patron episode tonight, but we'll see. But so next week, hopefully it'll be a couple days after you listen to this. We'll get Mike back on.
Yep.
Everything will be back to normal. Be a lot of giggling like 5-year-old girls.
Yes, for sure. Especially because we're going to have the Rookie Fever guys joining us for the next show, and we're going to be all about rookies on that episode. It's going to be insane, and there will be a lot of giggling, I promise.
I'm going to actually devote at least 15 minutes of the show to hair braiding. Because I assume that's what 5-year-old girls are into. I don't know.
I really don't know. I know there was a lot of drama in my schools when I was young, so I don't think the show has any drama. I would never consider us to be even like middle school girls, let alone elementary school. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. Each to their own.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, whatever. Hit us up. You know where we're at. We're at Dynasty Football Factory. You can find Jeremy and Mize. That's not a word. You can find my written content and Jeremy's written content on Dynasty Football Factory and also on Fantasy Pros. You can find us both on Twitter. You know our name. He's Madman. I'm Data Don't Score Points. You can also find my boy Jeremy on the Best Ball Owner's Manual, which just dropped last week.
Thank you, sir.
And it was awesome. So it was a good listen. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out all the other podcasts on the Dynasty Football Factory Network.
At @DF_network.
We got a bunch of new writers that are really pumping out some great content. I'm really proud of them. Hopefully they don't listen to this part where I said I'm proud of them, because I'm going to go yell at them later.
Yeah, exactly. Keep
so you know what it is. Hit us up. We'll talk to you later, kids.
Yep. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Peace.